I want to read two short passages of Scripture tonight. First, from the book of Deuteronomy in the 5th chapter, verses 19 and 20, and Matthew 5, 33 through 37. First, from Deuteronomy, "You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." Then Matthew 5, in verse 33. "Again you heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but keep the oath you have made to the Lord.' But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I started trying to preach on some biblical principles that have worked for me. The first of these, I said, was words of Jesus: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I believe when we do that, we're set free to live. For as he promised, God does provide all that we need for life. And we talked last Sunday night about work, and we said that when we work together with God, we find our needs are provided, that we have something to share with those in need, and there's a great satisfaction for work well done, and God's name is glorified, and so we must be about the task he has for us to do. I really don't know where this came out, but one person told me this morning they'd like to work themselves to death this week. I think they were catching up on some things they've been putting off until another occasion. But anyway, be that as it may, biblical principles that work for me: seek first the kingdom of God, work with God. Tonight I want us to look at basic honesty. When I think of honesty, I think primarily in two areas: not stealing and not lying. And I found that when I take something that is not mine, no matter how large or small, or when I lie for whatever reason, I'm immediately cast into purgatory, if not hell itself. I learned early in life that when I was not honest, I was immediately in trouble. When I was no more than 6 years old, I guess, my mother sent my sister Mary and myself to the grocery store to get something. I have no idea what. Well, I know we didn't go to get peanuts. I love peanuts. We didn't go to get any peanuts. But in the grocery stores in my childhood, all of them at home, somewhere in the grocery store, they'd have a 30-gallon garbage can, brand new, filled with raw peanuts. And if you wanted to buy some, they'd shovel you out ever how many you wanted, you know. Well, I don't know what we went for, but we didn't go to buy peanuts. But that store had their can of peanuts right at the door. And we got whatever we came for. My sister paid for it. And we started out the door. And somehow my little hand just raked through that can of peanuts. As small as I was, I couldn't have gotten more than 6 to 8. But I slipped them into my pocket and nobody saw. Nobody suspected. I had committed the perfect crime. But I'd never been too smart. We weren't 50 steps from the grocery store. I pulled out a peanut and started eating it. And Mary said, "Where did you get those peanuts from?" And I couldn't answer. She said, "You stole those peanuts. I'm going to tell Mama." And I begged her not to. And she said she wouldn't if I do what she told me to. And for several years, every time she wanted me to do something and I didn't want to do it, she said, "If you don't, I'm going to tell Mama." I don't know how long this went on. Finally, one day I'd had enough. I said, "Go ahead and tell." Stealing never has worked for me. And you're country enough, maybe, that you know what happens when a hen steals a nest. See, hens would get out and find a place, they'd build themselves a nest, and they'd lay a bunch of eggs and then hatch them if you didn't find the eggs beforehand. And one year, the hens weren't laying too well at home, and Mother was wanting me to look to see if I could find a nest that the hens had stolen. And she promised me that she'd give me a nickel for every egg I brought in. And a nickel in those days was huge. You could buy a Baby Ruth candy bar for a nickel. You could buy a popsicle for a nickel. You could buy a cup of ice cream for a nickel. You know, it was huge. And one Sunday afternoon, Mother and Dad had gone somewhere, I don't know where, and my sisters and I were at home by ourselves. And I decided to go down and visit my friend Billy. And I went down to Billy's house, and he wasn't at home. And wandering around, I was 9 years old, wandering around like a kid would. I went down under the house. They had a huge crawl space where you could walk under the house. And he had one little brown hen, and her nest was there under the house. And there was one egg in that nest. And I took it, and I went home with it. And I barely walked into the door. My old mean sister said, "Where'd you get that egg?" "You better take that egg back where you got it. I'm not going to do it." And in the scuffle, we dropped the egg, and you know what happens when you drop eggs. It was about nighttime, a little after nighttime, when Mother and Daddy got home, and they hadn't gotten in the door till my sisters told them about me stealing the egg. My daddy looked at me and he said, "Son, you go in there and you get an egg and you go down to Miss Vickers' house and you knock on the door. And when she comes to the door, you give her egg and tell her that you stole hers, and that's to replace it with." And Mother said, "Now, Jeff," and that was my daddy's name, "said, Miss Vickers has got company tonight. I think it'd be better if you let the boy wait until tomorrow. He could take the egg tomorrow." Daddy said, "He's doing it now." So I went in and I got an egg and I went out the back door. Dark out there. I went across the upper side of the garden. I went behind the little brown house next door. And I went to the vicar's house, but I didn't go to the front door. I went down in the basement. And I put that egg in the nest. And I left it there. And I guess I ran every step of the way back to the house in the dark. I wasn't gone long enough. And when I got home, Daddy said, "You take that egg down, Miss Vickers?" "Yes, sir." "Did you tell her what you had done and give her the egg to replace one you..." "Yes, sir." "Are you sure?" "Yes, sir." Well, there's just some things wrong with that. First place, he knew I was lying, and I knew he knew I was lying. And he looked at my mother, and he said, "Tomorrow morning, you go down and see Miss Vickers and ask her if Jeff brought an egg down here last night and told her that he'd stolen her egg." I didn't sleep too well that night. And in the fourth grade of school the next morning, I didn't concentrate too well. We always went home at dinner time, 12 o'clock. Sit down at the dinner table, and Daddy turned to Mother and said, "You see Miss Vickers this morning?" And Mother started laughing. But Daddy wasn't laughing, and Jeff wasn't laughing. She said, "Yes." I went down there, and I asked her, "Did Jeff come down here last night and bring an egg?" And she started laughing, said, "That explains a lot." Said, "Billy went down this morning to check on his nest, and he brought back this great big white egg." Said, "Mama, look what that little old hen laid." Said, "She never laid anything before but a little brown egg, and he got his great big white egg." And Mama was laughing, but Daddy wasn't laughing. And he invited me into the adjoining bedroom. And he used his razor strop, but he didn't use it to strop the razor with. And the hardest things about Daddy's whippings, when he got through, he said, "I quit crying." And went back to the table and ate lunch, and I enjoyed it a whole lot more than I did breakfast. And I did better in school that afternoon than I did that morning. Tragically, I did not learn sufficiently from these experiences, and have at other times been guilty of taking things that were not mine or lying about it. But this I have found to be true. There is no peace, no joy, no victory in my life until I go to the Heavenly Father, confess my sins, and find His forgiveness. And I ask you tonight, are you an honest person? Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. For whatever is more than this is from the evil one. He's insisting that society cannot stand and God cannot be honored except by the truth on the lips and the truth in the heart of His believers, His followers. Are you an honest person? You need to be honest. First, with yourself. We may lie to ourselves and not be honest with ourselves and to focus on the sin of others. You know, you can't believe a word he said, and he's a preacher. You wouldn't believe what that person said. See, the faults, the dishonesties, the cheating of others, and we oftentimes excuse ourselves. For we are not as guilty as they are. What we did wasn't as bad as what they did. Are we honest with ourselves? When we sin, do we try to excuse it because, after all, we are only human? I've heard that so often, and there's an element of truth there, but if we are believers in Christ, God's Spirit dwells within us, and we are more than just a weak human. We're to be empowered by the Spirit of God. Or do you excuse your sin because of the circumstances? Or because you were feeling bad? Or do you excuse it sometime by changing the names by which you call it? You know, he's a gossip. You can't keep a secret at all. Now I'm not a gossip, but I just tell the truth, and the truth will stand when the world's on fire. You know? Well, he's the stingiest person you've ever seen, but I'm not stingy like that. I'm just thrifty. You know, we change the name by what we call something to excuse ourselves. Or do we really confess our sin to God and seek His forgiveness? Do you think more highly of yourself than you ought to think? Or do you think that you are not good for anything or able to do anything? Either of these acts of dishonesty will keep you from living the life full and victorious as God planned it for you. First, are you honest with yourself? Second, are you honest with others? We often joke and ask, would you buy a used car from that man? We're in effect saying, do you believe that that person can be trusted to tell the truth where money is involved? And all of this says is that we want people to be honest with us. We want to be able to believe that what they tell us about anything is true. We want that of others. But are we honest with others? Were you the one that had the car to sell or trade? Could the person you were dealing with trust you? First car I ever owned was a 1950 Chevrolet. Pretty good old car. I entered the ministry with it. It would crank and go where I wanted to go, but it got to burning a good bit of oil, and more, it got to leaking a lot of oil. Every time I filled up with gas, I put in one, maybe two quarts of oil for every tank of gas. And I decided I had to get a different car, and I went one day looking for a new Chevrolet. And I was talking with a man that owned the business, and he came out to see my car, and this was in February. And I was serving six churches on rural dirt roads. And my car was grubby, filthy, with mud and dirt all over it. He looked at my car. He walked all the way around it. And then he stooped down and looked under it. And it hadn't been there 15 minutes. It must have been a puddle of oil this big. And he looked at me. He said, "I guess your car's in pretty good shape." I said, "No, sir, if it was, I wouldn't want another one." And he stood there with his mouth open and never said anything. Can you be trusted where money's concerned? Is your word to be trusted? Can people believe whatever you say without reservation, knowing that you speak the truth? Used to have the saying that a person's word was their bond. You could believe what they said. I knew a fellow the first year I was in the ministry. I don't think he was even a member of the church, but he was a good man. And one man said one day, one thing you could depend upon, if he said something was so, it was so. He said, if I got the word he was coming to whip me, I'd get ready to have a whooping, because if he said he's going to do it, he'd do it. Can people trust us, what we say? Do we pay our debts? Would a friend or even a family member hesitate to loan us money because they'd be uneasy about us repaying the loan? And if the cashier at the supermarket or the teller at the bank made a mistake on your bill or on your deposit, would you be as eager to correct their mistake if it was in your favor as you would if it was in theirs? And on the job, do you give of your very best? Or are you always on time? Do you do the work that's assigned to you, or even more? Never leave early. Are you honest with your employer? In little things, in big things, are we honest? Are we honest with ourselves? Are we honest with the others? And are we honest with God? And this is the most important of all. I might fool myself. I might lie to myself so often that I begin to believe I believe something I don't really believe at all. I might begin to think that I'm really something special. I might be such a hypocrite that you might believe that I'm honest and to be trusted. I might fool myself. I might fool you with my dishonesty. But neither you or I can fool God. We often try to. Are we honest with God? Paul, writing to Titus, the first chapter and 16th verse, said of the Cretans, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. And again, in another place, Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" Or again, quoting from Isaiah in Mark 7:6, He said, "These people honor me or worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Do we go through the motions, but not honest with God? A classical biblical example of someone trying to fool himself and others and God was in Saul, the first king of Israel. Interesting account, you can read it in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. Saul had been given specific instructions from God through Samuel as to his course of action. He went with his army to carry out the command of God, but he didn't completely obey. When Samuel came to him, Saul greeted Samuel, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." Well, he had partially, but not fully. And Samuel then questioned the presence of sheep and cattle, which he wasn't supposed to have there. And Saul said, well, the soldiers brought them. And Samuel rebuked Saul, but he continues to protest, but I did obey the Lord. The soldiers were the ones who disobeyed. And again, Samuel rebukes him. And finally, Saul said, I have sinned. I have violated the Lord's command and your instruction. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. I disobeyed God. I disobeyed your instruction because I was afraid of the people and gave in to them. Now he says, I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me that I might worship the Lord. I believe if we are honest with ourselves, we must admit that oftentimes, like Saul, we disobey God. Perhaps, like him, on occasions we are more afraid or more concerned about what people will say or think about us than we are about what God will say or think about us. Only when we're honest with ourselves, with others, and with God, will we truly be able to live life to the full. Honesty is not just the best policy. Honesty is a command of God. To live any other way is to go against God and to go against life. Be honest with yourself, with others, with God. And when you fail, remember the promise that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the way of life. Father God, we thank You that You are there waiting for us to be honest with You, to confess our sin, to bring Your forgiveness and Your strength and Your wholeness. Help us, Father, to live in faithfulness. Help us to live honest with ourselves, honest with others, and honest with You. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.